Too many of us miss out on the joy of being present because we can't let go of things from the past. Re-experiencing traumas, reliving mistakes, regretting lost opportunities. We can even get stuck in the memories of a past that seemed better. But Jesus offers a new life. He can help us begin to experience a better today. Join us as we get unstuck in our new series, Redeemed, Dealing with the Past.
Everyone, happy Easter. Pastor Vern, happy Easter to you.
Happy Easter, John.
This is a unique Easter, right?
It is a very unique Easter, but Easter's always a great day.
Easter is still going, man. We're still having it. It's still happening. We have a lot to celebrate.
Yeah.
You and I have talked about some of our Easter memories.
Yep.
We have no Easter memory like this.
This will be a unique one, right? This one we'll be talking about for a long time.
We will. Easter 2020. We're really glad that you're here. We want to just discuss Easter a little bit. You know, we were talking about some of those memories. And for me, as a kid, my biggest Easter memory is my grandparents coming. They lived in Maine, and we would go up there a couple times during the year, but they always came at Easter. And I remember sitting there and watching the cars go down the road and just waiting for one to slow down. And like a lot of my Easter memories just involve them coming back. But man, my favorite Easter, if I had to pick one out, is 2011, which was my first year here. And people that have been here for a while, they know that I came as the South Campus pastor. And at that time, the building had not been renovated. There wasn't church there. There hadn't been in quite a while. And we came in and we opened it all up and cleaned it up and got it ready. And we had a pseudo sunrise. It was 7:30 sunrise service there. And it was just so great. It was the first time I realized how special this church was. Yeah. And just to see the excitement and the energy and to have that building full and to hear people singing. We had a great breakfast afterwards, of course. It just stands out in my mind. I've really enjoyed the sunrise services in general. But that year, 2011, was really, really cool. Just exciting to be a part of this team and to, you know, dream about where we would go.
Yeah. Yeah, sunrise services are really special. I've always enjoyed them, too. We did them in Gowanda and up here, and they're just really special times with the church, especially when the sun comes up. You know, it's just the
when
right
time. When
you get
time. A sunrise for
when
the sunrise service.
When you do get a
service,
sunrise, yeah. That's right. But and I was thinking about that, too, but also a couple other things that stuck out in my mind about Easter memories. One is my mother-in-law would always have Easter egg hunts when our kids were young and our niece and nieces and nephew, and they would come and participate in these Easter egg hunts, and that was a lot of fun. But you know, the one that really sticks in my mind, that and it might be a little bit odd, but our family, you know, our parents took care of our needs, and they were good to us, but we didn't have a whole lot growing up. But this one Easter morning, I came down, we all came down, and our parents kind of got us in the living room all together and then walked us out to the kitchen. And in that kitchen, there were four brand new bicycles lined up. And I just went wild. It was like amazing to see these four brand new bikes. And I was the oldest in my sibling group, so I had this. There was this large red two-wheel bike for me, and it was a beautiful Easter day. I lived on a farm. I swear, I probably rode that bike 6 or 7 hours that day, just back and forth, up and down. And I think what really stands out for me in that memory, it was, I felt such joy in that day, such absolute pure joy that day. And when I think about Easter, you know, that's one of the emotions that I feel at Easter time. Every year at Easter, I feel joy. I just feel joy about all that God is doing, all that He means to us and how He loves us. And I don't know, that's, so when I think of that and I think of joy, and that's Easter to me.
That's great. It's a good bike riding Easter this year.
Right? Yeah, it should be good, yeah. Right.
You're right, the joy, I love that, because we come in here, you know, every day pretty much, but every weekend. But Easter always feels different, right? Yes. Easter has that, and it's not that there's flowers or people are more dressed up. It just, you feel that. You feel that joy of Easter. Yeah. I think, you know, that's what I'm going to miss the most, you know, through this whole stretch is not having that together during Easter Sunday is, yeah. You know, just, we're going to celebrate in our homes. Mm-hmm. There will be joy there. I hope that you're having a joyful Easter celebration, but it's different,
yeah,
with that.
Yep.
So we talked about our favorite Easter, our favorite parts of the Easter story, favorite, you know, the people that are involved in the story, the parts of the story. And I told you, mine has always been, I find this so amusing as an ultra-competitive John, is John's account in John 20. Now, we do Strength Finders. It's a thing we've done with the staff and the board where we learn about ourselves. And when we did it last time, only one of the people had competition as one of their strengths. Of all the staff and board, and it was my number one strength. Now, a lot of people had things like compassion, you know, and things like that that would be good empathy for church staff, but I had competition. So I found this to be so funny. In John 20, he's telling the story, and he's talking about how Mary came to the tomb, and she saw it, and she came back to tell them. And I love he unnecessarily, to me at least, weaves this in verse 3, he says, "So Peter and the other disciple, which is John, started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first." And I love that he's like, by the way, Peter knows this. We ran and I beat him. But then in verse 6, it says, "Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb." And he kind of drives it down a little more of like, yeah, I mean, I was already there. Then Peter finally arrived. And then in verse 8, it says, "Finally the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside." I love that that little detail. I mean, I love those details in Scripture. But three times, John includes for the all-time biblical historical record that he and Peter had a race to the tomb, and he beat him. And yeah. I love that.
Yeah. Well, right, because it demonstrates and says to us how real these guys were. I mean, right. They were just normal human beings like us, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes I think we forget that they were just, you know, they're just normal people. And so that's such a human, you know, story, right, that John would include.
I love
it. So, well, I had a couple. One was from Matthew, and I've always really appreciated it. It's just a really short couple of verses, but it says when Jesus died on the cross, that people came out of their tombs, some righteous people came out of their tombs and went into the city and were seen by their relatives. And, you know, I haven't heard a whole lot of people preach on that.
Yeah.
I did, actually, and I just think it's wonderful. I think it's fascinating to think about all of that. You know, what was that like for people that their deceased relatives came out of the tomb and on that morning and came in and they saw them, right? I mean, it raises all kinds of questions like how long did they stay there and what, you know, when did they go to heaven and all of that kind of thing. But obviously, you know, I think the reason that that's included in Matthew's gospel is because they're part of the first resurrection, right? Yeah. They're part of the first coming back to life from the dead. And that's such a wonderful, you know, a promise for all of us who are in Christ. So that's one. And then the other one is from John 20 as well, and it's where Mary Magdalene, you know, is talking with the gardener, and then she's concerned because she doesn't know where Jesus is and where his body and where, you know, they've laid and all of that, and then she hears just this one thing. She hears Mary. And she knows. Mm-hmm. She knows. I mean, I just think her eyes must have got huge. And she turns, and there's Jesus. And she says, "Rabboni." And I just think, knowing Mary Magdalene's story and how much Jesus had brought her out of and how much he had saved her from things and you know, her grief with his death. And now, in that instant, you know, it's all of a sudden, everything has changed, and it's so tender, and it's so sweet, and it just, you know, I mean, even talking about it, it kind of makes me tear up a little bit.
She knew his voice, right?
She knew his voice.
And she knew it. Yeah, and there's another one in John 20. This is a little bit after, but I've always loved Jesus meeting Thomas in his doubts, mm-hmm. you know, not chastising him. You know, verse 25, they say, "We've seen the Lord," and Thomas kind of crosses his arms and says, "Well, unless I see those nail marks for myself, then I'm not going to believe." Mm-hmm. And, you know, part of me thinks that Jesus would say like, "Hey, come on, have some faith, right? I told you I was going to do this. I did it." But Jesus doesn't do that. And in verse 27, when he sees Thomas, he says, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." And I love that. And I think there's a lot for us there, that he doesn't chastise him for his lack of faith. You know, I don't think that Thomas is going to want to be called Doubting Thomas in heaven. I think he's going to want to shed that nickname, because I think a lot of us can identify with that. that. And it leads to this profession. Like when Jesus does that, he says, my Lord and my God. He makes this beautiful profession of faith for who Jesus really is. But I've always resonated with and loved that Jesus didn't tear him apart. He didn't yell at him. He didn't say, like, you're weak and you should know better. He said, this is what you need to see. Here you go. Here's my side. Here's my hand. And there's some real beauty in that and how Jesus handles our doubts and our struggles and the things that maybe we don't want to say out loud, that he's saying, hey, it's all right, I'm here, I'm with you in this, and I want you to believe.
Yeah, beautiful.
Now, this is an interesting Easter, isn't it? I mean, this is a very unique Easter, but when we think about what Easter means to us today, and some of those things I think are all Easters, some are a little different this year, but the thing for me, when I think about what Easter means, is I love the truth that if we are in Christ, then as the song says, the same power that conquered the grave lives in us. You know, Romans 8:11 said, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you. And man, I think, you know, we have struggles. We're aware of our own weaknesses. We're aware of, like, man, can I keep going? Can I make it through this? Can I survive all this? This is a long stretch. And the truth of Easter and the power of Easter is the same power that conquered the grave lives in us. And if it doesn't live in us, it's available to us by inviting Jesus to be Lord of our life and to, you know, fill our life with the Holy Spirit. And so we have that power to make it through this intact. And we have the power to choose hope because of that. And we have the power to choose faith over fear because of that. And I love the power of the resurrection, but also that reminder that it wasn't like that power was just accessed one time and then put away. That power is available to us through Jesus Christ today.
Amen.
And I love that.
That's right. That's awesome. And what I wanted to share comes out of, again, John 20, where we've talked about John 20 a couple of times, but there's some verses in John 20 that I thought were just really relevant for this Easter in our situation. So I want to read John 20, verses 19 to 23. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they're not forgiven." I think we picture those disciples in a locked room on that first resurrection Sunday. Most of them had not seen Jesus, right? Apparently, Peter did, Simon did at one point. We're told that in another place in Scripture. Mary Magdalene, another Mary, and a couple of the women may have seen Jesus. But the disciples as a group had not seen Jesus resurrected yet. And now it's nighttime. It says it's evening of that first day of the week. And they're all in a room, and the doors are locked because they're afraid of the Jews. Mm-hmm. Well, I couldn't help but think about how so many of us are you know, we're not locked in our homes, but we're spending so much more time in our homes and out of the public arena for fear of the virus and fear of getting sick. And it's right that we do that, mm-hmm. right? I mean, we're practicing safe social distancing here because we it's right that we do this, right? But it just made me feel this greater connection with the disciples and how they were locked in a room from fear. And that's the common denominator here, right? Is that they were locked in a room because of fear. They were afraid of what would happen if the authorities, the religious authorities, found them and afraid that they might have to suffer the same kind of fate as Jesus dying on the cross. So there they are, locked in that room, and all of a sudden, Jesus is in the midst of them. I mean, I can't imagine that. I can't imagine. Yeah. I can't imagine what that was like. You know, I mean, I can picture people like stumbling around all of a sudden, falling on the floor. You know, kind of bumping into each other, like moving around and go, "What's going on?" You know, and they may have even thought he was a ghost. It's in scripture that tells us that in one place, and he has to reassure them. He says, "No, listen, it's me. It's really me, Jesus, right?" And here's what does he say to them? Here, you know, take a look at my hands. Look at my side, right?
Yeah.
And he just begins to calm them down. And twice he says to them, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you," right? I know you're afraid. I know that you're more than afraid. You're terrified. You don't understand what's going on right now in the world. Your life has been turned upside down. You didn't expect crucifixion to happen. You didn't expect me to die. You didn't expect to see me right now in the midst of you. You know, I know you don't know how to make sense of this right now, but be at peace. Jesus steps right into that fearful place with them and just begins to calm them down and to reassure them that everything's going to be okay. You know, people are living in such fear now, John. Mm-hmm. You know, we're afraid of getting sick. We're afraid of people we love getting sick. We're afraid of going to the grocery store. Every time I get in my car to do something legitimate, you know, there's a little bit of anxiety, like, I don't know if I should be doing this. We're afraid of people wearing masks. We're afraid of people not wearing masks. You know, we got all this anxiety right now. Mm-hmm. And Jesus wants to step right into the midst of that and say, peace, just peace. Because I'm here with you. And if I'm here with you, Jesus says, it's going to be okay. Yeah. It's going to be all right. Jesus steps right into our fearful places. He stands among the disciples and he has this message. And then he has a mission for them. And then he has a means for them to accomplish the mission. And the message is to be at peace. Be at peace. The resurrection is our guarantee that everything is going to be okay. That by faith in Jesus Christ, everything is going to be okay because we can be at peace. First with God, right? Because of the Jesus' death on the cross and paying for our sins, by faith in Christ and what he's done for us, we are at peace with God, the God of the universe, the creator God. He is at peace with us. We're at peace with him. We live in a relationship of peace. We can be at peace with each other, right? I know that God is with me. He's going to take care of all the things I'm frightened about, all the things I'm anxious about, and so I can begin to live at peace with other people. I can be at peace with myself. Because of the resurrection, we know it's all going to be okay. Jesus made peace possible. That was the message to the disciples. The mission was this: as the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. Jesus came to share God's love with us, and Jesus says, I'm sending you out now to share that love with everybody else. Just as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. You have a mission to do, and it's not to isolate yourself from the world and to shut yourself off from everybody. Maybe you can't be in a church worshiping. Maybe you can't be visiting your friends and your family, but you can still be sharing this message of peace with people, right? You can still be getting on social media and using Facebook and all the ways you communicate with people to say to them that God wants to be at peace with you. Right? That's what Easter is about. So share the message. You have a message to share. We have a mission. And the mission is to share that good news that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He was raised from the dead and he lives eternally and we can live eternally with him through faith in him. That's our mission, is to get out there and share that. In the midst of all this crisis, it's been wonderful to see the good things that have happened. You know, we talk of, you know, we all get concerned about some of the scares, but there's so many good things that are happening. I think people are probably using social media to say more good things now than they were in the past. I think there's more encouragement going out through social media and less gossip and less, you know, junk, right? People are using it for good purposes. I love these, I know some people personally, maybe you do too, who gone out on birthday parades. You know, they get in their cars and drive around and honk, and that's wonderful. I love that. You know, people, I was reading yesterday, people are reading the Bible more right now. They're praying more. There's good things happening here, and we need to share that we have the good news. We have the best news. Then the best news is Jesus Christ is alive today and wants to bring you peace. Now, the means, right? There's the message, there's the mission and the means. How do we make this happen? We don't do it in our own strength and power. I can't. I don't know, John, I've had moments where anxiety has really tried to get a hold of me,
yeah.
You know, in this whole thing. I don't have the power to carry on my own. But Jesus says, you don't have to. He says, receive the Spirit. Receive the Spirit. Let the Spirit of Jesus, by way of the Holy Spirit, come and give you the strength and the power to carry the message of peace in a time of anxiety and fear. The Spirit gives us the power. Jesus says that He is always going to be with us. He is always going to be with us. He's right here, right now, Jack, right now. He's with you right there where you are. He's there. And He will always be with you. He sends His Holy Spirit to give us the power to live the life that He has called us to. The Holy Spirit can be yours if you have relationship with Jesus Christ. And you know, that's the most important thing that mm-hmm. we could say to people today, right, John?
Absolutely.
Is Jesus is alive. He rose from the dead after paying for your sins on the cross. And He's inviting you to have relationship with Him and to receive the power of the Holy Spirit so that you can have peace in the midst of trouble, so that you can have peace in the midst of the storm, so that you can have peace with God and peace with yourself. And it's available to you, and all you have to do is to invite Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, to say to Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, and I know You died on the cross for my sins, and I receive that. I confess my sins to You. I receive by faith what You've done for me, and I ask You, Jesus, to forgive me, to cleanse me, to empower me with Your Holy Spirit, and to help me to live my life for You. And if we ask Jesus to do that, He will do it. He'll do it this very moment, wherever you are. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I pray that you will make that relationship secure right now. And if you do, enjoy this beautiful Easter day, because Jesus is alive. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give You the praise and the glory for all things, even for what we're going through right now. We give You the praise and the glory for it, because we know that You are here with us, and we know that You love us because You sent Your Son Jesus to die for us while we were still sinners. We did not deserve it. We did not earn it. We couldn't demand it, but You did it for us as an expression of Your complete and wonderful love for us and Your desire to have relationship with us. Thank You, Father, for this wonderful gift. Thank You for Your Son, Jesus. Thank You for this Easter day when we can celebrate the resurrection of Christ from the dead. Thank You for all Your blessings. We praise You and we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.